So with shloka number 12, Lakshmidhar Kavi concluded with this idea that I do not have three states, Sushupti and Jagrat and Swapna. Why I don't have these three states? The idea first is because the three states belong to ego. Why do they belong to ego? Because ego is the one who goes to deep sleep. Ego is the one who wakes up. Atma is always present. And the second is, when Atma is present, Atma is the witness. And when there is a witness, the knowledge of the witness is steady. The knowledge of the witness doesn't change. So therefore, these three avastas cannot be my nature. I am only illuminating, only shining them for the jiva. So this way we come to know that Atma is not the three states. Then what about the Shadvikara? All the modification. Not just the six modification, but with that, all the modifications. So not the modification only of the body, but of the mind, of the material objects of the world, any modification. I am not the modification. So that is taken up in shloka number 13. So in that shloka, what Lakshmidhar Kavi is pointing out is, I am knowing these change. So the one who is the knower, yo yad janati, saha tad bhinnam. So what I know, I am different from what I know. So if I know the change, I have to be changeless. This is the reason. Otherwise, I would not be able to know the change. This is what was presented in shloka number 13. Now, in shloka number 14 is where we have to start today. A further elaboration of this idea is present. What is that idea? Why Atma is different from its modification? Why Atma can never undergo any modification? One reason is Atma is the knower. That is one reason. Now here is the other idea. So before that, the connection from previous shloka to this shloka, that is provided by Swayam Prakash. So from previous shloka to this shloka, Swayam Prakashiti ji says that if you make this assumption that Atma is modified, if you make this assumption that the Atma is modifying, would you say that this modifying Atma is different from the modifying objects, or is it the same? Is the Atma which is changing, modifying, changing? That is what we are supposing. It is not changing in its nature. That was proven in shloka number 30. But still, to give us further clarity, he presupposes this idea that if it were to be changing, would you say that this changing Atma is different from the changing world, the modifications, or is it same as the modification? This question is clear? Makes sense? Meaning, Atma is modifying and the objects are also modifying. As they each modify, what is the relation between the two? Are they different from each other or are they similar to each other? Okay. So he gives an example. If the clarity is not there, he gives an example. He says, Gava Ashwayoho Iva. Says, are they different like the cow and a horse? The properties of the cow are completely different from the properties of the horse, correct? Cow is modifying, cow is changing, and horse is also changing, horse is also modifying. Horse eats chana. Also it's hay, but also it's, you know, chana and all these different types of food. Cow will not eat all of that. So there's different type of food. I don't know if the horses give milk. I don't think they do, right? There is no horse milk. I've not heard of it. So horses do not give milk. I'm just giving out some differences. So modifying cow and modifying horse, they are not similar to each other. If they are not similar to each other, they're different from each other, then will the modifying cow know the modifications of the horses? All the modifications, not just what it sees. And the fact is that when the cow itself modifies, it is not going to know all the modifications of the horses. That which changes cannot know the change. That principle has to be there. Okay, so then what if we assume, and Swayam Prakashatiji says, then let us assume that both are the same. That both the modifying Atma and the modifying objects of the world, mind, intellect, everything, they're same. So then there's a fault in there. There's a problem in that kind of thinking, that if they are the same, then this problem will arise. So that is explained with the shloka, number 40. So let us chant the shloka and then we go in. This idea is clear, what Swayam Prakashati is trying to get at.
So I'm not very clear. So are we saying that with the cow and horse example, it's clear here, modifying objects of Atma, mind and intellect. Because Atma is not changing, right? Now Atma, you have to assume.
It isn't. Yeah. But here, he's supposing. So let's say the Atma is changing.
Okay.
So if the Atma is changing, is it changing and also it is knowing other changes? So if it is changing and it is knowing other changes, that means it is different from all the things that it is knowing. If you say like that, there is a problem there, because it is like the cow and horses, which are two distinct. They change on their own, but because they're different from each other, they don't know all their changes. They don't know all each other's changes.
Okay.
So this is a presupposition. This is not saying that Atma is changing. So we should not confuse them. Okay. Tena tena hi rupena. Jayate liyate muhu. Vikari vastu tasyesham. Anusandhatrata kutaha. Tena tena hi rupena. Jayate liyate muhu. Vikari vastu tasyesham. Anusandhatrata kutaha. So here the idea is, if we assume that Atma modifies, and as it modifies, it is modifying with the modifying object, which is the jiva. Jiva changes, we know. Atma changes with the jiva. If we were to suppose like that, then tena tena rupena, by those different forms. Which different forms? The six vikaras that was mentioned. Jayate, liyate, asti, jayate, vartate, all those. So, tena tena hi rupena jayate liyate muhu. So Atma also is jayate. Atma is born when the jiva is born. And liyate, Atma dies when jiva dies. So there is a birth for the Atma, and then there is a death for the Atma. So if that is the case, then yasmat, that he is to say, tena tena hi rupena, right? If this were like that, he, then vikari vastu, which is this Atma, which is vikari, which is changing, of this Atma, tasya, anusandhatrata kutaha. Kutaha, where is? How can you say there is anusandhatrata? Sandhatrata meaning connection. Anusandhatrata, connection with the previous. So when we say connection with the previous, means remembrance. Where is the remembrance for this Atma if it changed at each moment? This is the question it poses. And there's a sarcastic question, because the answer is there is no remembrance in that. Because Atma changed as the jiva changed. So if Atma changed as the jiva changed, then how can Atma knew the change? So Swayam Prakashati ji, he gives this idea that at the birth, Atma was born. So therefore, Atma was not there previously. When another change occurred, Atma changed, so it is no longer existing how it was existing previously. It is no longer existing how it was existing previously. So therefore, its death is at every moment. This is the death of Atma at every moment. And such an Atma, how can it remember that a change has occurred? How can it say that before I was a child and now I'm a youth? In order for me to say I'm a youth, I have to presuppose I was a child before. But if I was not there as a child, then how can I say I was a child before? This is the problem that arises if we say that the modifying Atma modifies with the Jiva. If we say that the modifying Atma and the modifying Jiva are two separate, then the problem comes is that if they're two separate, then how will they know each other? How will they know the change of each other? And if they're same, if they're together, then also how will they know the change that occurred? They will be one limited being. From one change to another change, they will know. But the moment that change occurs, they will not know. You can think about it like this. I don't know if you have worked in shifts at any places. In hospitals, that happened, right? And nurses, they work in shift. So if you are attending a patient, and that nurse doesn't write down what all doses that nurse has administered, how will the next nurse who is coming will know what has happened? So if the first modifying nurse and the second modifying nurse are too distinct, then they won't know each other. But if they are one, and they are modifying, then also they will not know, because the first nurse and the second nurse have two different existence. So the end result that comes out is both are the same. Whether you are separate from the modifying object, or whether you are one with the modifying object, one, you, Atma. So if Atma is one with the modifying object, or Atma is different from the modifying object, Atma will not know the change, because change presupposes remembrance. And remembrance presupposes prior changeless knowledge. That is the premise of remembrance. When you say I remembered something, you are not simply remembering the object, but with that object you are also remembering your presence at that moment. That presence of yours was continuous. And on that continuous framework, the memory or the thoughts have been dotted. Think of it like a conveyor belt. And there's one dot, second dot, third dot. You know that the dot and the pattern is complete because the whole role is one. There was a break, how will you know what was there previous to that? This is the idea that Atma has to be different from its modification. So Atma doesn't modify, Atma doesn't change. There's no change for Atma because it knows the change. This much is the shloka. That's it. There is not much in this shloka. Very simple, straightforward. Clear? Shall we move forward then?
Where is the question of coming up knowing before birth and after death? Atma is still continuing. So what happened there?
So now that is the question comes about. That is the next point that Swayam Prakashitiji raises. You are saying that Atma doesn't change. Atma is changeless. Then, how is it that Atma has a birth or Atma has a death? Or in another way, you say that I don't know the birth of Atma, I don't know the death of Atma. This is the point raised. But before we go to the thought that Swayam Prakashitiji has laid out, I want to lay a framework, an idea, so that we can easily understand this. When you change, when a change happens from one moment to another, just think about it, that first moment to the next moment. So T0 to T1, correct? T0 to T1, that change is the first moment of change. Correct? So when did you recognize the change? Did you recognize the change at T0 or T1? At T1, correct? That is when the change was recognized. What is the time of birth? Is the time of birth T0 or T1? T0. Time of birth is T0. Then only you can say birth happened, right? If the birth happened at T1, then you should be able to recognize the change, right? So T1, and then any moment after that is the change. Simple idea only, right? That if we were to understand T0 and T1, T0 is the time of birth, and then from that moment onward is whatever change. Okay. Now you flip it around. Let's call it T. God has given us 100 years. Okay. So T99 and T100. So when do you recognize the change from T99 up till T99.99999? Correct? At T100 is the death. You can never recognize because T100, there is no change. You are only able to recognize the change till that moment. Once that moment happens, you cannot recognize any more change because the logic is still the same. What is this logic? The logic is from T0 to T1, before T0 was non-existence. Before T0 was non-existence. That which is non-existence, you can never recognize. From T0 onward is existence. So therefore, any change after T0 is you're able to recognize. Okay. And you flip it around from T99 all the way T100 is the moment of non-existence again. So again, at that moment of non-existence, you cannot recognize anymore. So anything up till that moment, you recognize. After that, you don't recognize. Therefore, Atma or Jiva doesn't know its birth and death. This is the point of the shloka. So we do
Swami not. Swami Sananandji told me once that birth is the existence of prior non-existence, and death is the non-existence of prior existence. That gives the idea of this birth,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Existence of prior non-existence is birth. And non-existence of prior existence is death. So that fits in this perfectly.
That is correct. So this is the framework that the shloka is going to talk about. Okay? So let's first look at the argument laid out by Swayam Prakashyatiji. He says, I have an objection. Objection to what? Objection to this idea that Atma is not changing with the modification. So I have an objection to this. Why can't we say that Atma has a special characteristic? Atma has the special characteristics where it can change and it can recognize the change. So what do you mean by that? So he gives an example. And you cannot say here that Atma, because it changes, it doesn't know it changed. Because it changes, it will never recognize it change because it has this special characteristics. Atma has a special characteristic that it can change also and it can recognize the change also. So he gives an example. He says, we all know all the stones, right? Stones are inert, correct? Any stones you take is inert. But wouldn't you say diamond is also a stone? Diamond is also a stone, correct? Well, we give more value to diamond. Why? Because diamond shines. Other stones don't shine. They don't have the capacity to brighten up the house, nor it has the capacity to brighten up our smiles. But diamond does. So the diamond has this special characteristic, even though it is inert, it shines and it illumines others also. You shed a light, you throw a light on the diamond, everything around the diamond will start shining. So isn't it special? So what if we say that Atma has this special characteristics where it changes and it also knows the change? Now he says that if the self were to change like this, sorry, he also gives another example, and that is the example of, so this first example of diamond being a special characteristic is towards the shloka number 13. Because shloka number 13 was saying is that there is no knowledge about the change. In shloka number 14, the special idea that was mentioned is that it changes also. That Atma is changing along with the modifying objects. So Atma is able to change as it goes along. So to that argument, he says that let us consider an example like a cloth and a thread. A cloth, when it changes, sorry, a thread, when it changes the cloth. So over a period of time, if the thread starts to become stiff, then your stretchable clothes kind of shrink also, or they you know, lose their stretchability. So as the thread changes, the cloth will also change. But thread and cloth are two different. So they are different also, and then they are similar also. That is the idea. That which changes also, and that which remains changeless also. These two examples Swayam Prakashita ji gives. But then he says that in these two examples, you cannot justify the birth and death. Meaning, you can say that Atma has this quality of changing, and it knows all that changes with it. But when it comes to birth and when it comes to death, Atma cannot recognize the birth, nor it recognizes the death. So there the problem occurs. And because this problem arises, it clearly tells us that Atma is changeless. Okay, so let's look at the shloka, and then we see the meaning behind. नच स्वजन्मनाशं वाम् द्रष्टुमर्हति कश्चन तौ हि प्रागुत्तराभाव चरम प्रथम क्षण न च स्वजन्मनाशं वा द्रष्टुमर्हति कश्चन तौहि प्रागुत्तराभाव चरम प्रथम क्षण. कश्चन, that last word that is there, kashchana. Somebody. Who is somebody? Somebody who is scholar. Somebody who has learned all the knowledges of the scriptures. And not just Vedanta scripture, all different shastras. So let somebody be like that. somebody who is great, somebody who is smart, somebody who is a scholar, pandita. But even that pandita, swa janma, one's own birth, nashamva, or one's own death, drashtum na arhati. Drashtum, able to see, na arhati, is not possible. So they are still not able to see their birth and death. Now, if you say, if the argument is still continuing that Atma has this special quality of knowing the change and undergoing the change, why are you saying that Atma has this special quality of knowing the change and undergoing the change? Because Atma is something like this diamond. It has a special quality to shine and to make others shine. So what if we say Atma is like that? Then here is the problem. That the problem is, even then, that person doesn't know their birth, nor they know their death. Even if they are scholarly, they will not know. And if you were to say that it is like the thread and a cloth example, that, you know, it is modifying along with everything, then also still, where is the birth? At that birth, what modification? So why can't somebody know their birth and their death? And the answer given is tau janma nashau, birth and death. That is tau. Tau hi prag uttara abhava. Prag, prior. Uttara, posterior, afterwards. Prior, afterwards, abhava, absence. This whole one word is one. Okay? Prag uttara bhava charama prathama kshanav. Kshanav, the moment. Which moment? Charama kshanav. Charama kshanav. Not kshanav, kshana. Kshanav is dual case. So it is speaking to both. So charama kshana means the final moment. Charam means final. The last. Final moment. And prathama means first moment. So this word, prag uttara bhava charama prathama kshanav, you break it down and you say pragabhava charama kshana. You kind of break that word down. That charama has to go with prag. So pragabhava, abhava, absence. And charama kshana. And likewise, prathama kshana uttara abhava. What are these words trying to tell? It is saying that charama kshana praga bhava is the moment of birth, and prathama kshana uttara abhava is the moment of death. So in this way, you break down the word, and what it is saying is, in these two moments, this modifying Atma does not exist. So if the modifying Atma doesn't exist, how can it know its modification? How can it know its modification? So, Charamakshana, that final moment of prak, prior abhava, absence. So the final moment of the prior non-existence. This is the English translation of Charama Kshana Pra Abhava. I am repeating it because this was confusing in my mind many times when I repeated it. Became clear. So the last moment of prior non-existence, there could not be any knowledge because there was non-existence. This modifying Atma was never existing there. Atma was existing. Atma, the true Atma, the Satchidananda Swarupa Atma, that existing. But that existing Atma does not interact. That existing Atma is ever separated from everything. So that will not be a witness of anything. If you say you are witnessing means what? Witnessing means you have to have existence, and that existence has to be of the nature of this transactional world. So in this prior non-existence, when that prior non-existence finished, ended, birth started. That is your T0. So from T0 onwards, you will know everything. But before T0, including T0 and anything before that, there was non-existence. How can you know? So therefore, you don't know your birth. And you flip it around, and the same thing, posterior non-existence. Afterwards, non-existence, the first moment of non-existence after death. That moment, again, there is non-existence. You are not there. This modifying Atma is not there. How can you know that? Therefore, Atma is not changing. So what? What are you trying to say? Just because you don't know the birth and you don't know the death, that means I don't know the change? What about the four stages? You said asti, jayate, vartate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyate. So what about the other four stages in between? I am knowing the change in those other four stages in between. Says no. If you think you are knowing those change in those four stages, you are mistaken. You are mistaken because from change one to change two, that change is not possible without the illuminating factor of the Atma. So the illuminating factor of the Atma is allowing for that change to be witnessed, to be seen. We confuse that as our power, our ability, our power, ego's power, ego's ability, and we say that ego has seen the change. So the ability of witnessing was borrowed from the Atma, and then we projected it onto ego. Therefore, the point is that even those four state, in those four state also, Atma is not changing. Atma is not modifying. Only the Jiva was modifying. Atma was illumining those modifications where the Jiva thought that Atma witnessed or Atma was the one seeing the change. So the real power of the Atma is that it is steady, it is one, it is changeless. It never changes. And this should be proof enough. That if I don't know my birth, if I don't know my death, that means I, the Jiva, am not real. I have borrowed the sentiency knowledge from the true Atma and am able to know it. This is the erroneous notion we must remove from our mind and come to know that I am the true Atma. So if we were thinking that upon realization, I will come to know how I was born and how I will die. No. Realized masters, they will have an intuition about the death. But the realized master, and it can be a God's grace also. There then God's intervention comes, then everything falls apart. And nothing can say, you know, nobody can say that I am able to know. That's why the word uses kaschana. Somebody who is having this arrogance that I am knowing. If that arrogance is there, then they will never know. But if it is God's grace, sure, then the realized master may come to know, have an inclination about their death, have an inclination or have a notion of how they were born. They may even know. They may even have seen. I don't know. But the point is that realization has nothing to do with knowing the birth, knowing the death. The realization has to do everything with knowing I am the Atma. And not the one that is changing. And this is what the shloka is trying to get us to understand. And Swayam Prakashayati ji, he gives an example also. He gives an example of a lamp. Deepa. The lamp is able to only illumine that which is there in that period of time. Meaning, till the lamp is lit, it is able to illumine everything. But once the lamp is exhausted, it cannot reveal anything. In that similar way, when the Jiva is born, the lamp is lit. And it is able to witness the change. But is it the power of the lamp that it is illumining, or is it the power of the oil? Is it the power of that source that is doing all the work? So therefore, what is that real source? That is where we need to get it. And he gives a quotation. Swayam Prakashayati ji gives a quotation of Adi Shankaracharya ji from Bhakyavritti. So he says, Bhashyakara, that is Adi Shankaracharya, has said this in the Vakya Vritti, Dehendriya mana prana ahankratirebhyo vilakshana. So this atma is vilakshana, is separate from deha, body, indriya, mana, prana, ahankriti, ahankara. So it's totally separate from all of that. Projita shesha shadbhava vikarastum padabhidham. So projita is devoid. Ashesha shadbhava vikara. So devoid of all the six types of modification. This is the nature of this. Therefore, Atma doesn't have any modification, and including the modification of birth or death. I hope the idea was clear. Questions or comments?
When I was reading it yesterday, as you mentioned that, you know, you read it beforehand, then you will understand it a little bit better. So I was reading the example of a pot. And, you know, when it's a pot, it exists. And when it destroys, there is no existence. So I was just referring it to like before, like asti, before there is no existence of a pot, then asti, and after it's broken, there is vinashyati. But when you think of a pot, you think that it's not in the form of a pot, but there it exists in the form of a mud before. And even after, when vinashyati, it's still there. So that's what we are trying to understand here, that Atma is there, but in a non-existence before birth and after birth.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, very true. Very true.
And Dhirinji, when we were talking about the Kshanikvada, are we talking about the Buddhist theory that momentarism, they think that it's just every minute you are just dying and the modification is happening and Atma is also modifying with that? That's what that was about?
I would
like
say
in between,
yes.
Shloka number.
It is a theory of Kshanikavada, but there's no mention here in the commentary by Swayam Prakash Shetiji that this is the belief of Kshanikavada. So I am not fully certain, but Kshanikavada, I guess you can say, is that idea of momentary life, that one changes and there's another life and there's another life. So that is true, but I don't know the philosophy also fully. So you can say, yeah, it is a Buddhist philosophy of Kshanikvada.
So this verse really emphasizes more of a sat part of the existence of Atma. chit part is probably, that's where my question comes in. The chit part is missing because we don't have prior, at the time of the birth, we don't have knowledge of prior non-existence. Is that right? Because I didn't get this chit part. The chit part is not expressed, not really emphasized too much in these verses.
This is mentioning about chit part. I don't know how you are understanding the sat part.
The sat part is always existing prior to the birth. It was existent. And after the death, it's still existent. The existent is still there. The sat part of it.
Uh-huh.
As far as the jiva is concerned, the chit part means the knowledge of the prior birth is not there because
yes.
of the
so the
because
shloka
of zero
is,
point and
the shloka is focused from the perspective of the jiva. It is not focused from the perspective of atma. So
atma.
From the perspective of jiva, the jiva's knowledge has limitation. And that limitation is seen at the birth and at the death. The limitations of the knowledge. However, if we extrapolate the idea, you can see that the knowledge can never be understood from this perspective only. Because to have knowledge at the moment of birth, something had to give the jiva that ability to know. And that ability to know has to come from existence. And the interesting enough idea is that we know existence, consciousness, and bliss. They are not three different things. They are not three things, but they are just one. And this point will be taken up in Advaita Makaranda towards the later time, later shlokas, where it will say that sat is chit and chit is sat. And it will logically prove why two cannot be separate. Because if two were separate, you will have other faults. You will have other problems. So because these problems are there, therefore, by proving that sat is there, it is also proven that chit is there. Okay. So we will continue with the next shloka. Next. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Okay, Hari Om.
Thank you, Dhiranji. Hari Om.
Hari Om, Dhiranji.
Thank you, Dhiranji.
I have a comment. I will